Chapter 3. When the impious king comprehended this situation, he became so infuriated that not only was he enraged against those Judeans who lived in Alexandria, but was still more bitterly hostile toward those in the countryside. And he ordered that all should promptly be gathered into one place and put to death by the most cruel means. While these matters were being arranged, a hostile rumor was circulated against the Judean nation by some who conspired to do them ill. A pretext being given by a report that the Judeans hindered them from the observance of their customs. The Judeans, however, continued to maintain goodwill and unswerving loyalty toward the dynasty. But because they worshiped God and conducted themselves by His law, they kept their separateness with respect to foods. For this reason, they appeared hateful to some. But since they adorned their lifestyle with the good deeds of upright people, they were established in good repute with everyone. Nevertheless, those of other races paid no heed to their good service to their nation, which was common talk among all. Instead, they gossiped about the differences in worship and foods, alleging that these people were loyal neither to the king nor to his authorities, but were hostile and greatly opposed to his government. So they attached no ordinary reproach to them. The Greeks in the city were wronged in no way, but when they saw an unexpected tumult around these people and the crowds that were suddenly forming, they were not strong enough to help them, for they lived under tyranny. Being grieved at the situation, they attempted to console them, expecting that matters would change. For such a great community ought not be left to its fate when it had committed no offense. And already, some of their neighbors and friends and business associates had taken some of the Judeans aside privately and were pledging to protect them and to exert more earnest efforts for their assistance. Then, the king, boastful of his present good fortune and not considering the might of the greatest God, but assuming that he would persevere constantly in his same purpose, wrote this letter against them.
King Ptolemy, the father lover, to his generals and soldiers in Egypt and all its districts, greetings and good health. I myself and our government are faring well. When our expedition took place in Asia, as you yourselves know, it was brought to conclusion according to plan by the gods' deliberate alliance with us in battle. And we considered that we should not rule the nations inhabiting Cilicia and Phoenicia by the power of the spear, but should cherish them with clemency and great benevolence, gladly treating them well. And when we had granted very great revenues to the temples in the cities, we came on to Jerusalem also, and went up to honor the temple of those wicked people who never cease from their folly. They accepted our presence by word, but insincerely by deed, because when we proposed to enter their inner temple and honor it with magnificent and most beautiful offerings, they were carried away by their traditional arrogance and excluded us from entering. But they were spared the exercise of our power because of the benevolence that we have towards all. By maintaining their manifest ill will toward us, they became the only people among all nations who hold their heads high in defiance of kings and their own benefactors, and are unwilling to regard any action as sincere. But we, when we arrived in Egypt victorious, accommodated ourselves to their folly and did as was proper, since we treat all nations with benevolence. Among other things, we made known to all our amnesty toward their compatriots here, both because of their alliance with us and the myriad affairs liberally entrusted to them from the beginning. And we ventured to make a change by deciding both to deem them worthy of Alexandrian citizenship and to make them participants in our regular religious rites. But in their innate malice, they took this in a contrary spirit and disdained what is good. Since they incline constantly to evil, they not only spurn the priceless citizenship, but also, both by speech and by silence, they abominate those few among them who are sincerely disposed toward us. In every situation, in accordance with their infamous way of life, they secretly suspect that we may soon alter our policy. Therefore, fully convinced by these indications that they are ill disposed toward us in every way, we have taken precautions so that if a sudden disorder later arises against us, we shall not have these impious people behind our backs as traitors and barbarous enemies. Therefore, we have given orders that as soon as this letter arrives, you are to send to us those who live among you, together with their women and children, with insulting and harsh treatment, and bound securely with iron fetters, to suffer the sure and shameful death that befits enemies. For when all of these have been punished, we are sure that for the remaining time, the government will be established for ourselves in good order and in the best state. But those who shelter any of the Judeans, whether old or children or even infants, will be tortured to death with the most hateful torments, together with their families. Any who are willing to give information will receive the property of those who incur the punishment, and also 2,000 drachmas from the royal treasury, and will be crowned with freedom. Every place detected sheltering a Judean is to be made unapproachable and burned with fire, and shall become useless for all time to any mortal creature.
The letter was written in the above form.